Rich.
Morning. May it please the court, this is an age discrimination and retaliation case and a non-selection for promotion. The district court granted summary judgment without permitting Mr. Dunning an opportunity to conduct any discovery. Reversal is required under the court's decision in Chappelle Johnson v. Powell, a case decided by Judge Centel Henderson and Judge Tato last year. The district court essentially held or denied Mr. Dunning an opportunity to conduct any discovery, essentially held that, first, that the Rule 56 affidavit was insufficient. Here, there's no magic formula for submitting a Rule 56F affidavit. The plaintiff only has to show that he cannot respond to the...
Can we take these position by position?
That's fine. That's sufficient, Your Honor.
For the CSO position, in the district court, what did you seek by way of discovery?
For the CSO position that Mr. Dunning was denied, Mr. Dunning's position was that he should have been grandfathered into this position. The agency...
I'm asking, what did you seek by way of discovery in the district court?
Your Honor, in response to the motion for summary judgment, we advised the court that we would need to review the regulations that the agency was relying upon.
I'm sorry, where do you say that in the district court? You say at the bottom of page 40 of the joint appendix.
That's correct.
Plaintiff has not had an opportunity through discovery to gather sufficient information on the policy and practice of the agency on restricting applicants based on their age. And that I think is the totality on that subject.
And well,
does that meet the test of Strang or other cases for justifying discovery?
Your Honor, we also indicated that plaintiff has not had an opportunity to test the legitimacy of the assertions of the agency officials and therefore cannot respond to the defendant's arguments. The agency did not present to the court the policy. They presented an affidavit from an agency official who said that this was the policy.
Is that an affidavit? I didn't understand that. The only affidavit that I saw in the joint appendix was an affidavit saying that this is what Mays said, but it doesn't say that what Mays said was true.
Well,
nobody seems to bother about that.
That is another issue, Your Honor. We didn't particularly focus on that issue, but we did not have an opportunity to question Mays at all. That's the issue. That's one of the issues for this position.
Strang suggests you have to do something more than say, well, you know, we'd like to ask some questions of the party on the moving side, on the deponents on the supporting the motion for summary judgment.
Well, Your Honor, that is true, but this is a promotion case or non-selection for a promotion case. It is impossible to respond to a motion for summary judgment in a promotion case without being given an opportunity to question the people who made the decision or the basis for the decision.
What you're saying is inconsistent with Strang. Strang clearly expects the non-moving party to come up with something rather than just saying, we don't know, we're baffled by what the moving party has set forth.
Well, Your Honor, our position is that we believe that we satisfy the requirement to get discovery, at least get
What's left of Strang, if you're right? Isn't your reading of Strang to render it completely meaningless?
No, Your Honor, not at all. I believe that there is a requirement under Strang that you set forth the reasons, but I believe that this is sufficient.
The only reason you give is that we want to ask questions about the witnesses of the moving party.
Well, that's not the only reason, Your Honor.
That's what you say here, really.
We did not have sufficient Having had an opportunity to gather sufficient evidence on the policy and the practice, the agency restricted this gentleman from applying for this position because they said you're above the age permitted under this policy. We don't get any discovery on this policy, how they've applied the policy, how they made exclusions for other individuals who were over this age. All of those things have been raised in the opposition.
You cited Chappelle Johnson at the beginning of your comments today. But as I read that case, the reason we reverse there is that the district court denied discovery on the basis of a misunderstanding about the law, right? I mean, the district court thought that the plaintiff couldn't establish a prima facie case in a failure to hire case if the position he sought had not been filled by someone outside the protected class, right?
That's correct, Your Honor. That's part of it, or at least that's my understanding.
You think that's just part of Chappelle Johnson?
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, let's start with this part of it. Is there a legal error here?
Your Honor, I believe that there is a legal error here.
What is that?
That the district court Well, Your Honor, let me think about that, and if I may, I'll come back to that.
Okay. Let me ask you another question while you're thinking about it. Much of the information you ask for in your affidavit seems to already be in the record. For example, you ask for the qualifications. You say you need to get the qualifications of the selectee, right?
That is one of the things, yeah. Your Honor, that we requested.
But the affidavits of one of the interviewers, Gunn, gives you the answer.
No, Your Honor.
Yes, it does. It says the selectee scored highest in the interview, had a master's degree, and a White House reference letter.
Your Honor, but all of these affidavits were taken essentially from the report of investigation at the EEO during the EEO administrative process. The way that process works, many times these affidavits are either prepared by individuals who are not attorneys or by agency counsel. The plaintiff has not had a chance to explore, test, or to verify any of the information contained in any of these affidavits. And we believe he's entitled to do that, particularly in a non-selection or promotion case, where the only way that he's going to be able to determine the agency's justification or whether it passes the test of being appropriate is to question the individuals who made the decision. I mean, for example, discovery could reveal that the reasons why Mr. Donning was excluded were discriminatory or retaliatory based on prior actions.
Let me take you back to Judge Williams' questions about strain. I mean, it says, quote, without some reason to question the veracity of the evidence of the affiant, plaintiff's desire to test falls short.
I'm sorry, I missed the last part of your statement.
Without some reason to question the veracity of the affiant, plaintiff's desire to test the affiant falls short.
And, Your Honor, we presented sufficient evidence to establish that there was cause.
What is the cause?
Well, Your Honor, the individual who made the decision, first, Mr. Donning was charged with this offense, which was disputed, and he submitted an affidavit saying that was disputed. But there were two subsequent positions that were filled after this initial charge against Mr. Donning and this punishment. Mr. Donning was recommended for both of those positions, was denied both positions. One individual declined the position. The agency still refused to deny Mr. Donning the position based on this alleged claim that Mr. Donning had issues with management. If management's decision was that he had issues with management based on the fact that he filed a prior EEO complaint, that would be retaliation. That would be inappropriate. We at least should have an opportunity to explore that to see if that's the reason why you said Mr. Donning had issues with management. There's no evidence in the record to support this claim that Mr. Donning was not honest or should not be placed in a leadership position. His complaint alleges that he received awards and commendations for his work, and he was successful in his work throughout his career. So there's no basis for all of these allegations made against Mr. Donning, and Mr. Donning has not had an opportunity to establish that. Discovery may reveal.
I'm looking at your affidavit. We have to go on what you say in your affidavit. All the affidavit says is that without obtaining written discovery and taking depositions of deciding officials and individuals who claimed I was not honest or had issues with management or exhibited behavior that disqualified me from leadership positions, those are all the basis for it, he could not rebut the agency's non-discriminatory reason. I mean, it doesn't say why.
Well, Your Honor, but that's why the agency said they declined or denied him the positions, because he was not honest, because he exhibited.
Right, but the Rule 56F, Rule 56F requires that you give reasons. All you've stated here is a conclusion.
Your Honor, well, we believe that we've stated the reasons that
where,
with
in
by
the
questioning
where
him.
Where are they in the affidavit?
I'm sorry?
Where are they in the affidavit?
I know that Mr. Donning stated that he denied these claims or that he denied these charges.
Well, that doesn't explain why you need the discovery.
I'm sorry?
That doesn't explain why you need why you can't respond to the claims with your own affidavits. That's what Rule 56F requires.
But, Your Honor, we are committed to test these individuals or the statements made by these individuals.
You have to have something to show the court why you need specific discovery. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a discretionary rule for the allowance of further discovery in a summary judgment situation. You have to make some showing as to what it is you're hunting, and what Judge Tatel's testing is how are you outside the realm of a fishing expedition. Fishing expedition as a realm.
It's not a fishing expedition, Your Honor. Mr. Donning denies that he had issues with management or that he was dishonest or that made against him.
But you see, if all a plaintiff had to do was to state that the defendant's affidavits were not accurate, then they would always be entitled to discovery in response to a motion for summary judgment. And that isn't what Rule 56F says. Rule 56F says, should it appear from the affidavits from the party opposing the motion, that's you, that the party cannot, for reasons stated, present by affidavit facts essential to your case. See, you can't, under Rule 56F, at least the way it's written, you aren't entitled to discovery simply because you deny the defendant's charges.
I understand that he's not entitled, but he is entitled to discovery to respond to the reasons stated in the motion for summary judgment. If the reasons stated in the motion for summary judgment are subjective reasons, such as the ones that were given here, the only way that he can get evidence to respond is to question those officials on the basis for those subjective decisions.
Well, that may be, but you have to, under the rule, give reasons for that.
Your Honor, I think that's what we stated here. For all these reasons, we need to conduct discovery and basically question these individuals on how you can make these subjective conclusions about Mr. Donning.
Okay.
I would like to reserve a minute or two, Your Honor.
Well, your time is up. We'll give you back 2 minutes for rebuttal if you need it.
For those reasons, the district court's decision should be reversed.
Thank you, Mr. Brank. We'll hear from the appellee.
Good morning. May it please the court. We believe the district court was correct in issuing summary judgment to appellee and did not abuse its discretion in its determination to deny appellant discovery based on his 56F affidavit, where the appellant failed to produce an affidavit in support of his opposition memorandum and pertinently failed to state why he could not provide facts that would create a triable issue in support of his opposition memorandum absent discovery.
Could you first enlighten me on what the Mays quote affidavit is? Is it, it appears to be testimony of some kind, but then there's an affidavit up front that says, yeah, Mays really said this. So, is that the only thing that's sworn to, that you said it, not that what you said was true? That's the way it looks.
Well, the Mays affidavit is actually in support of the, or consistent with the vacancy announcement itself.
I understand that.
Right.
I'm just trying to figure out what kind of a document it is. I've never seen anything like that. In a summary judgment case.
Well, the affidavit, as I said, it further elaborates on the vacancy.
I understand what it says, yeah. The actual sworn thing is just saying that Mays said it. And it doesn't say that Mays said that it was true, right? There's no commitment to the truth of what was said. I mean, no issue was raised of it. I'm just curious and kind of baffled. I've never seen anything like that.
Well, as the court noted, that there was no opposition or response raised with regard to the
yes.
Mays affidavit.
All right, you can't explain. Okay, on to other more pertinent issues.
In this case, the appellant was actually in a position to dispute the facts on which appellant relied in moving for summary judgment, because those facts essentially addressed appellant's own behavior. For example, appellant could have provided an affidavit explaining whether he gave incorrect instructions to an employee who was terminated. He had personal knowledge on that, obviously. He also had personal knowledge to deny or otherwise respond to appellee's assertion that he used his work computer inappropriately. He had personal knowledge to provide examples demonstrating his ability to work through conflict in a constructive manner, rebutting appellee's assertions in this regard. Of course, appellant can also speak to his own qualifications as to his allegation that he was more qualified for a position, yet he did not provide an affidavit supporting that assertion. Appellant had the personal knowledge to provide examples demonstrating an ability to adapt to new circumstances. Again, he did not provide an affidavit supporting that he could do so. Here, this case is like Strain, where the appellant presented a desire to test and elaborate on the testimony of agency's affiants, and presented no reason to question the veracity of those affiants. Accordingly, as in Strang, the district court here properly entered summary judgment on behalf of appellees, and we request that this court affirm that decision.
But we focused on the argument concerning the denial of discovery, the issue on which running two into one, it also deals with prior to granting the summary judgment. I find the record a little bit confusing on the grandfathering concept as to whether this position that he was already in is the sort of position that would have grandfathered him. And if not, if so, why so? If not, why not?
Well, the appellant offered his military experience.
Well, military, we can forget
about. Right, right.
He's not entitled to
that. Right. And he did not have sufficient law enforcement experience that.
Well, there wasn't enough time in the position.
Right, that is correct. That is correct. He had been in the position 3 years. He was 45 years of age when the community supervision officer position was announced. So even if you subtracted the 3 years of experience from 45, he did not meet the requisite age requirement for the position.
There is some place where the agency sets forth its age policy in writing?
Quite candidly, Your Honor, we presented the vacancy announcement and the Mays affidavit to explain that.
But are you saying that nowhere in the universe is there a written manifestation of the agency's policy?
There could possibly, but there is actually a statute that allows a law enforcement agency.
I understand that, but then it gets implemented by the agency, right?
Right. That's correct, Your Honor.
And that's all in the oral tradition?
No, Your Honor. I would surely think
this case would have been a great deal easier if it had been put in the record.
Yeah, we have a hard time finding in the record support for what the proposition is.
Right.
The age policy. We're troubled by that.
But again, Your Honor, that was not necessarily, that was not challenged before the district court. The vacancy announcement itself was not challenged. The impropriety of the vacancy announcement itself was not challenged. And I believe the argument that the appellant presented was that he would meet the age requirement if the military experience was applied, as well as his law enforcement experience. I think that was the argument that he presented. But the record is clear that...
I'm sorry, can you speak up a little bit?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. I believe that the argument that the appellant presented is that he would have actually met that age requirement if his military experience was factored in, as well as his law enforcement experience. But the vacancy announcement, but it is clear that the military experience is not applicable. It's civil service law enforcement experience. And he did not have sufficient time in a law enforcement position such that if he subtracted that, he would meet the age
requirement. What if he got in that position that he was in, if it was a law enforcement position?
Well, he was grandfathered into that position. That's quite different from actually applying for a position and trying to meet a different position, right?
I need no further questions.
Okay. Again, Your Honor, we respectfully request that the this court affirm the decision of the district court. Thank you.
Mr. Branch, you were out of time, but we'll give you back 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Yes, Your Honor.
Your Honor, one of the issues that we have with this case is that the district court made this decision based on the affidavit or whatever this statement declaration is from Ms. Mays. We don't have this policy in the record. We were not permitted discovery, specifically requested an opportunity to permit discovery to even get the policy. And that request was denied as part of the district court's decision. And that's the issue in terms of trying to resolve this case. Is a plaintiff entitled to some reasonable discovery? If you say that there's a policy which governs our actions here, and is a plaintiff required or permitted to get that policy before a decision is made by the agency? And we believe that we were entitled to that type of discovery. Let's see.
There's no place where you ask for a written copy of the policy, is there? I found none.
Other than where we stated at 41 that we, on Joint Exhibit 40 and 41, the statement that was previously read to the court, plaintiffs not had opportunity to test legitimacy of the agency's officials and has not been permitted to gather sufficient information on the policy and practice of the agency and restricting applicants based on their age.
You don't ever just ask for the policy.
Well, Your Honor, there was no discovery.
In your Rule 56F affidavit, you don't even mention the CSO position at all.
I understand. We didn't mention it in the Rule 56F affidavit. It was presented to the district court in the brief that was in the opposition brief that was filed with the court. We believe under Chappelle Johnson that the court is required to reverse this decision. In Chappelle Johnson, the decision was that the plaintiff was entitled to discovery for positions that were not filled, and Mr. Donning has requested discovery for positions that were filled and the motives behind.
Well, okay, well then what's the legal error here that's comparable to the one that was committed in Chappelle Johnson?
What's the
legal error here that's comparable to the one that was committed in Chappelle Johnson?
That would be the legal error, or at least that's our position. That would be the legal error that the court in Chappelle
The difference is, I think, is that here you haven't sufficiently asked for the discovery with respect or explained the reasons why you can't respond to the defendant's affidavit with affidavits of your own, whereas in Chappelle Johnson, the judge denied discovery on a flawed understanding of what had to be shown to prove a prima facie case. And what's comparable to that point?
Here. We believe the district court's decision, if you read the district court's decision carefully, I believe what he essentially is saying that you cannot establish this prima facie aspect of your case.
That's because you didn't submit any affidavits.
I
Your Honor, that's not because we didn't submit affidavits. It's because we didn't have the information to submit. We requested the information or an opportunity to gather the information to respond to the motion for summary judgment. I don't know how you can respond to an agency's motive for taking an action without taking the deposition of the individual who made the statement that you had an issue with management and that's why you were not selected. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Case is submitted. Call the next case.